Hey, everybody. Welcome to Awaken Life. It's Monday at 3, and we're here as usual. It's me, Rick, and Eric today. How are you guys doing?
Adam, I'm doing great.
Yeah, Eric, how you doing over there?
I'm doing well. I'm excited for the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
You got some things to be thankful for this year?
Doesn't everybody?
The listeners have probably heard it by now. This is fun. We've got a special guest joining us today, Gary Stamper. He's actually the author of Awakening the New Masculine, and it's The Journey of the Integral Warrior. And so he's going to come on after our first break, and we're really excited to have him on today. And this is actually also it's the 11-year anniversary of my initial awakening.
Oh, I didn't
remember
know that,
Dad?
Yeah.
Eleven years. It's November 21st, and it was on November 21st of 2000 that I had what was sort of like a birthday.
Yeah, it sure was a lot of excitement that
it
day.
It changed the game completely. So
yeah, at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, many many ways, and it feels like this year it does feel like almost like a new birthday's coming up too.
Yeah.
You know, it just because things have. You know, are progressing so quickly. You know, it's like the Earth is almost approaching a birthday of some kind.
Yeah, there's just so much happening, and it's so different.
Yeah, and it's people call it the quickening.
Yeah,
you know, and it's represented in you know lots of different cultures. You know, throughout the ages, and you know whether the Egyptians or the Mayans, so on. Mm-hmm. And I think the Renaissance reminds me maybe of a time that was you know a quickening period.
Sure.
But there's no question that we're seeing it.
Oh, it's definitely happening.
So it's, you know, it's, I don't know, it feels like it's every year on November 21st, and some of you out there might have similar holiday, you know, times that come around that it wasn't that you were, you know, it wasn't a physical birthday an anniversary that, you know, is commonly celebrated, but maybe a spiritual event of some kind.
Yeah.
Do you have, are there any dates like that stand out for you, Dan?
You know, there's your wedding date.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you celebrate that every year.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, like spiritually.
Spiritually. I can't say that I have any that really stand out, no.
Yeah, I don't think everyone, you know, does, but I imagine there are some. Well, and it's funny, too, because, you know, you and I both share the memory of that, you know, that day 11 years ago.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah. That day plus the day your condo burned down. Your home burned down.
October 23rd of 2010.
Yeah.
So, you know, last week we had our monthly meditation meeting, and it was interesting because someone came up to me and they said, you know, what's the Awaken Life radio show all about? And what I told her is that it's about waking up and showing up. And that means taking awakening and all that truly means and bringing it into your daily lived experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then she said, well, how do I do that? I was like, well, you got to listen to the show. But, you know, actually our guest today, really, that's the name of his game. I mean, we've been talking for the last 2 weeks now mm-hmm. about what it means to embody the masculine,
yes.
You know, and that aspect of the one, mm-hmm. you know, of consciousness. And his, you know, that's what he's talking about. That's because for men to show up, mm-hmm. you know, for men to take awakening mm-hmm. and to embody it and to live it yeah. on a daily basis, that is a specific aspect of the way enlightenment or awakening shows up,
mm-hmm.
right? And
mm-hmm.
in a daily work. And so he's, you know, we're fortunate to have him.
This is going to be great. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah. He, you know, I'll give you some background on him in a little bit here, but he, you know, he's just a great person to talk to. I mean, you know, we've talked about David Data quite
mm-hmm.
a bit,
mm-hmm.
in the, you know, the last couple of weeks and, you know, we had Paul who, you know, is well read on the subject
yes.
and, you know, we had him speaking about it. And then Thomas Wilkerson,
yes.
Came on and shared some of his wisdom and insight into what it means to, you know, to live out an authentically masculine mm-hmm. awakening.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Gary, he's just, you know, I mean, the title of the book says it all. I mean, Awakening the New Masculine, right?
Yeah, that's good.
Dad, I check in with you because, I mean, this is kind of new to you. I mean, this Awakening the Masculine stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm I'm all ears. This segment, or these three, this series of shows has been very, very interesting for me.
What have you taken? What have you gathered from it?
Well, I have to tune into me and who I am and what I'm all about.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, I've got to be the listener. I've got to be, I've got to have compassion for my partner and find a way to balance the two and treasure the femininity in both of us and the masculine side of both of us and honor it. That's kind of what I've learned.
Wow. Well, I'd say you've done pretty well then. You've absorbed some. Those are some jewels there.
Well,
huh?
I hope my partner in life will identify with that. At least, you know, forgive me if I've stepped over any lines of communication. But
right, and is it fair to say also though that you've found what it means to, you know, courageously assert yourself
and in that
masculine voice?
Yes. And sometimes when you assert yourself, you can anticipate there might be some resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, as I've experimented with this, I have met with some resistance. And, you know, because sometimes, my partner doesn't want me. My wife, Diane, I should say, my beautiful wife of 35 years, your mother of 30 years.
Yep.
She's wonderful. We have a great relationship, but we have challenges, and so we have to address them. But this show, I've definitely made some strides.
Are you evolving beyond the macho jerk, but also beyond the caring wimp ideal?
The macho jerk. Now, let's not that macho jerk is okay sometimes.
It
happens. We
well, remember,
up.
If you remember what we talked about last time, I mean, it's about evolving beyond that,
yes.
But not turning into just a sensitive and caring wimp that doesn't have a spine.
Right.
Right? It's about also, you know, embodying both, right? I mean, it's a good thing Gary's coming on the show today. I think you're going to learn some things.
I need your help, Gary.
Yeah. So, Eric, hey, I think we're ready for our doorway segment.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so what's a doorway? Well, a doorway is an opening through which one comes to the experience of the sacred. This week's doorway comes from a text called The Union of the Solar and Lunar Tantra, and it's called The Song of the Vajra. Unborn, yet continuing without interruption, neither coming nor going, omnipresent. Supreme Dharma, unchangeable space without definition. Spontaneously self-liberating, perfectly unobstructed state. Existing from the very beginning, self-created without location. With nothing negative to reject and nothing positive to accept. Infinite expansion penetrating everywhere. Immense and without limits. Without ties, with nothing even to dissolve or to be liberated from. Present beyond space and time. Existing from the very beginning. Immense inner space, radiant clarity like the sun and moon, self-perfected, indestructible like a vajra, stable as a mountain, pure as a lotus, strong as a lion, incomparable pleasure beyond all limits, illumination, equanimity, peak of the Dharma, light of the universe, perfect from the very beginning. All right, time for us to go to our first break. We'll be back with Gary in just a minute. You're listening to Awakened Life. Real talk, right here, right now.
Are you upside down on your home loan and facing foreclosure? Washington's Foreclosure Fairness Act takes effect on July 13th and requires your mortgage holder to grant you a face-to-face meeting to negotiate modifications to your loan that may let you keep your house. More than 5,600 homes were seized in the first 3 months of this year in the state of Washington. Don't let this happen to you. Visit foreclosurefairness.net. That's foreclosurefairness.net or call 206-818-9732, your home safety net.
Hi, this is Adam Seward.
And I'm Rick Seward.
And together we have partnered to bring you Awakened Life as part of our commitment to supporting the unfolding of human and planetary consciousness. That's also why we decided to create the Awakening Foundation. Well, what's the Awakening Foundation? The Awakening Foundation is a nonprofit organization that's designed to help facilitate the evolution of consciousness through the creation and distribution of what we're calling Awaken Media. We'd love to connect with you. For more information on the Awakening Foundation, go to adamseward.com. If you'd like to find out more or to talk with us about how you can support the mission, fill out the contact form and we'll get back to you right away. Thanks for listening to Awaken Life. We look forward to connecting with you. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Adam Seward, and you're listening to Awaken Life here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, a couple announcements before we bring Gary on. Next month, December 17th, we're going to have, or 15th actually, we're going to have our monthly meditation meetup. We do that at Unity of Bellevue. I mentioned that in the first part. And part of what the intention is of those monthly meetings is just to really bring people together to share in, you know, the sacred state of silence, to go within and to also have the opportunity to connect and spend time with others. So if you are interested in joining, you can find more info on my website, adamseward.com. And another announcement is that next week, Paul's going to be back, and we're actually going to be talking about storytelling, the ways that we, you know, the ways that the mind and our stories they cloud reality. They prevent us from, you know, seeing things as they are. And it's about, you know, inquiring into our stories and really unpacking them to see, you know, what the truth of it is and how well things align with the great story or the universal story. So you're going to want to tune in for that. Again, that'll be live next Monday at 3. And so I'm being told we have Gary on the line now, huh? Is that right, Gary?
I'm here.
Hey, there he is.
Hey, Adam. Hi, Richard.
Hi,
man. What a great connection we have now. We were having a little trouble at the break there.
Yes, we've had thunderstorms here all afternoon, so they've been messing with our electronics everywhere.
And where are we talking to you from?
I'm in the western North Carolina in the Smoky Mountains. I moved here about almost 3.5 years ago, and my wife and I built a house here. We're up on a ridge. We have a beautiful view of the Smoky Mountains.
Oh,
and,
wow.
We live in an intentional community. Well, what's jokingly referred to as an unintentional community.
Yes, yes. I like the freedom in that, you know. speaking of the masculine.
Yeah, we don't want to commit to anything.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I want to give you a proper introduction here because you know, Gary is a good friend of mine and someone who I've known for a while. And so he's actually the author of a new book called Awakening the New Masculine, The Path of the Integral Warrior, which is scheduled for a January release. And he's also the creator and facilitator of the Integral Warrior Men's Workshop Series and lives in, like he just said, in an intentional community in the Great Smoky Mountains and so on. But he's also started what's called the Integral Salon up here. I mean, that's how we met, Gary. I don't know if you remember, but I went to the Integral meetup, and you were hosting that at the time.
I do. I remember it well.
Yeah. And so that was really, you know, what you did in creating that, you know, is a huge part of how this show came into existence because, you know, it's a lot of the connections that have been made through that
that you know, led to the inspiration of creating the show. So,
well, thank you. I don't know about that, because I remember when you walked in that I was extremely impressed with you right from the very beginning, so I think you would have been fine with or without it, but I'm glad we were there.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that, Gary. It's really... I think it's really great to have you, because I know you're really passionate about this topic of the masculine and what it means to really, you know, embody the awakened masculine in our lives. I mean, could you maybe just give us a rundown on like what the new book is about?
Yeah, I can. But first of all, let me explain that I don't particularly claim to be embodying this new masculine. I'm working on it, but
I like that.
Anybody actually fully embodies it yet? It's an emergent.
Yeah, good. Yes.
And so we're all kind of looking at it, and we're all learning as we go, which is really how I started this process from the very beginning. Is I wanted to do this work, and I couldn't find a way to do it, so I just started doing it myself, because as we know that, you know, teaching something is one of the best ways to learn it. So
yes,
that's basically what I've been doing.
Yeah.
But the book came about as a result of the 3 or 4 year, well, actually almost 5 years now from the first Integral Warrior workshops from Seattle Integral, in Seattle, and which morphed into this 6 month process that I'm doing. And the book really came about as a result of that workshop and what I've learned in that workshop series. And so Awakening the New Masculine, the Path of the Integral Warrior, is really all about men stepping up into their fullness, and into being the very, very most that we could be. And on the planet at this time, as you probably know, it's really time for men to start stepping up. Those of us who've been doing work have been kind of following in the footsteps of the feminine, who has had a giant, huge step ahead on us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're playing catch up in a lot of ways. And that's a lot of the work that I do, is because men come to the process sometimes simply because they sometimes don't know how to work with a feminine. And we all learn together. But the book is really about several processes. It's a whole series of different processes that I've assimilated from other people, including what I've added in, that actually move men up in consciousness. You're probably familiar with the difference between horizontal and vertical development.
I am, yeah.
It really works hard on making sure that there's good, strong horizontal development, so that there's a solid base that we can build on at whatever level of development a man is at. And then once that solid base is in place, then you can start working on the transformation or the vertical development, the moving up or into later stage consciousness. And that's really what it's all about, is helping men move from what you've done. I heard you talking earlier that you had some discussions on David Data, and I'm sure most of your listeners are familiar with the difference between first and second, third stage masculine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've covered that in the last few weeks. That was one of the main points that we looked at, were those three stages.
Yes, and my work is really all about moving men from beginning to move from second stage to third stage masculine.
Mm-hmm.
The Mankind Project, which is an excellent men's process and group all across the world. I think there's something like 400 different groups around the world.
Mm, yes.
Is really excellent at moving men from first stage to second stage.
Mm-hmm.
And then my work is really about moving men from second stage into the emergent quality of third stage masculine,
mm-hmm.
which is really all about freedom.
Hmm. Yes. Yeah, like we said, we were talking about, too. And, you know, and you call it the emergent quality. So, I mean, you're really talking about something that is coming into being, and we're it's almost as if we're mapping that and watching that as it's happening.
We really are, because there, you know, one of the things I've been talking about is, and I've been writing about and trying to figure out is, you know, who is the new masculine? What does the new masculine look like?
Mm.
And we don't really know yet, because it is an emergent quality.
Mm-hmm.
And while I have ideas on who some of these men are, I don't want to give that away just yet, because that's the next book. But it's really about, you know, we're really not embodying it yet. We're really kind of all learning how to go there. But there are some models out there that are beginning to emerge.
Yeah. And I think, you know, your book is one of them.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah. It sounds like that's really what the intention was for you, was to map that emergence.
To a large large degree, and it's also, you know, to map it, to show exactly how it's done, or one way how it's done, because, you know, there are going to be as many different models for the new masculine as there are men who embody it.
Oh, wow.
It's not really all about being one way.
Mm-hmm.
It's about opening up to the universe, connecting to the universe, and really standing in your freedom without, and finding everything that you need for your value within yourself and not from external causation.
Wow, so it's really about being responsible.
It is, very much so.
Yeah, you know, one of the quotes that we've been using the last couple of weeks is that it's time for men to evolve, you know, beyond the macho jerk ideal, all spine, no heart. It's also time for men to evolve beyond the sensitive and caring wimp, you know, all heart, no spine. And, I mean, in terms of your book, why are men so flaky these days? You know?
Yeah, why am I struggling with this?
Well, that's the thing, why are we all so flaky? Yeah,
yeah, right.
And believe me, we all are to a certain extent.
Yeah.
I think the largest reason, if you look at the developmental models out there, is what happens between, you know, data's first, second, and third stage masculine. The second stage masculine is really about men really integrating the feminine. And that's something that Mankind Project is getting them get in touch with their feelings. Are you hearing me okay? Because I'm getting some buzzing here.
Yeah, it's breaking
now.
Up a little bit, but we can hear you
it's
now.
It's good
fine.
Now.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. You know, men, and as they move into second stage masculine, because of feminism, because of the damage that the patriarchy has done on the planet, the small, very, very small group of men who control the planet and who have controlled the planet and are still trying to control the planet, men have really taken the blame for that as well. All men have, even though men have been fodder for the patriarchy just as women have been.
Mm-hmm.
We're the ones that got sent off to war. We're the ones, you know, that, at one time, you know, one of the ways men got to have wives was by proving themselves in war, and it was the only way you could do it.
Mm-hmm.
But today, men have, we've had a tendency to kind of reject this shadow of the masculine.
Mm-hmm.
What we think is the shadow of the masculine, we've assumed the shadow of the masculine, and we've kind of pushed it back into the shadow because we don't really want to deal with it, because we're being told that, you know, masculine equals, you know, not good. And so men tend to kind of press that masculinity. And moving into third stage is really all about reintegrating. Let me close this door here. I have dogs barking.
Your friend wants to share.
Oh,
I think.
That was the dog.
What's he think of the new masculine? Anyway. Gary, you there?
I'm here. Can
okay.
you hear me?
Yeah.
So it's really about moving to third stage is really about reintegrating the masculine.
Yes.
And making sure that we still carry the feminine with us, but that we also carry the masculine power with us, because, you know, whether we're a man or a woman, we've all dined at the table of masculinity.
Yes.
You know, that's half of where we came from.
Yes.
And one of the things is when we deny that masculinity, it gets pushed into shadow and the problems even expand even more. And really what needs to really happen right now is for men to stop acting like little boys, for them to grow up, for them to step fully into their fullness, their manhood, their masculinity, their strong masculine, and to be able to still hold the feminine, still hold those. To have the freedom also to exhibit, you know, to really show who we truly are. And it's very much needed at this time on the planet. It's extremely important that this masculine, this, and particularly the warrior, with the aid of the other archetypes, you know, the lover, the magician, the king, all to step forward in perfect balance to usher in the new human that's going to be coming for the coming, that's going to be, you know, emerging on the planet because of what's happening on the planet right now. I mean, the old systems are collapsing all around us.
Yes.
Yes, they are.
And, and we need men to really step into their fullness so that we get through this and so that we can birth the emergence of the new human.
Oh, man, you are speaking our language.
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
So well said.
Oh, man.
That's really all about unity consciousness.
Yes.
But before that can happen, it's critical that both men and women do the work that they need to do so that come in buzzing again.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're about to go to our first break. Maybe we'll try you on another line. But, Gary, you're really speaking our language here. We're going to hear more from Gary when we come back from our break about the what it means to dine at the table of the masculine and to embody this through the different art, you know, the warrior, the magician, the sage, the queen, so on. We'll be back. You're listening to Awaken Life.
Kidzen Hot Yoga of Bellevue is a brand new hot yoga studio in Bellevue, Washington. Come join a beautiful yoga community and become part of something greater than yourself. Hot yoga has so many tremendous benefits, which include allowing your muscles to stretch deeper than they would at room temperature, while detoxifying your body and working out on a micro and macro level. If you have aches and pains or are just searching for an active and meditative workout, hot yoga is for you. Temperatures range from 98 to 105 degrees and postures focus on strength, endurance, and balance, while simultaneously working your organs, nervous system, and glands. This is a comprehensive workout, and more importantly, it's an opportunity to go deeper within yourself and heal your mind and body from the inside out. More info at GetZenYoga.com. That's GetZenYoga.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off traditional talk radio. Get ready for powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in, and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Listen to the Dr. Pat Show Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon on AM 1150, KKNW, and visit thedrpatshow.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Awaken Life here on KKNW. We're talking to Gary Stamper today, author of Awakening the New Masculine. And, Gary, you know, before we went to break, we were talking about, you know, what it means to really take in the information from these different archetypes that, you know, you spoke of. So, could you say a little bit more about, you know, how the Jungian archetypes fit into your work and what, I see here there's four initiations as well. I'm curious about that.
Right. That's part of the Integral Warrior Process, the workshop that I do. And, there's an amazing thing that's happening on the planet at this time, and that is that for the first time in our history, a history of mankind or only the humankind, that we've been able to actually bring in all four of the archetypes, where historically most men could only bring in the archetype of the warrior. That was all they were allowed to be. You were either a warrior or you were a farmer, and even if you were a farmer, you were still a warrior. Mm. And you could be conscripted at any time to do, you know, the Lord's work, whoever was your ruler. Mm. But today we have an opportunity to integrate all four of those archetypes, which is really a unique place to be, and never before in history have we had the opportunity to do that. You know, all of us, whether we're male or female, exhibit an either masculine or feminine essence. You know, that is who we are. It has nothing to do with gender. It's really about whether we carry more masculine or we carry more feminine energy. And if we're carrying masculine energy, these four archetypes, the magician, the king, the warrior, the lover, all play a role in keeping each other perfectly balanced and healthy. Because when we lose the balance of those archetypes, then our primary archetype, whichever that might be, you know, my archetype, primary archetype is a warrior. Mm-hmm. And if I don't have the balance of the lover, my warrior becomes, you know, brutal and becomes a killer, becomes a soldier, questioning soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And if I were carrying the lover archetype and I didn't have the discipline of the warrior, the lover goes right into addiction.
Mm-hmm.
The lover is so connected with beauty and so connected with, you know, feeling good and the wonderful things in life, that it's really easy to get addicted if you're not really careful.
Wow.
All these archetypes balance each other in this way.
Yeah.
And the king, who is the big picture person, who is responsible for the abundance within the kingdom, within his kingdom, whatever that might be. It might be a family, it might be a city, it might be a country. Mm-hmm. If he's not in balance with his other archetypes, then his kingdom suffers as well.
Mm-hmm.
The magician, my secondary archetype is the magician, which is really the holder of knowledge. And whether it's a teacher, a scientist, and we can see the shadow aspects of the magician in our world so clearly today because of things like GMO foods, atomic weapons that we can't control. We don't know how to get rid of the waste.
Sure. Pharmaceuticals, probably.
Pharmaceuticals. Yeah. All this stuff is the magician gone amok.
Interesting.
Yeah, we don't have the big picture king who's saying, no, 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 we need to stay in balance here, and this is getting really out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is really critical in this work. And so in the Integral Warrior process, we spend a full weekend on the light and the shadow of each of the archetypes.
I see. Okay.
We talk about how they've impacted our lives, how our primary caretakers exhibited those qualities and how we wound up with them and why they remain in shadow with us. We talk about the shadow. We talk about how it shows up in our personal lives, our work, our relationships. And we own all of those different aspects, both the light and the dark. And in shamanic circles, we have a saying, the light and the dark, no difference, because really, when we expose the shadows of these elements, what they are really is gifts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reminded of a man who was in the Debbie Ford movie, what was that called, Shadow Effect. And he had been terribly abused as a child, and when he faced those shadows as an adult, he eventually became a wonderful person working with other men that had been abused. And he could relate to them in a way that nobody else could because he fully understood what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's gold in the shadow.
Yeah. You know, one thing you said about shadow, and I work with shadow too, is the importance of owning shadow. And could you say a little bit about what that means to own it? I mean, well, yeah, could you speak to that a little bit?
Well, first, you have to be able to see the shadow.
Yeah.
And that's always a big problem. And one of the things that, you know, the integral 3-2-1 process, shadow process, is excellent for seeing shadow. And the shamanic breathwork process, which I facilitate in personal intensives and in the Integral Warrior Workshop, is also an excellent way to see those shadows. The 3-2-1 process is a cognitive approach that allows you to see your shadow, and the shamanic breathwork process is a spirit approach to that. The shamanic breathwork process allows our egos to get out of the way and allows our souls to really speak to what needs to come up.
Mm.
So shadows often exposed through these processes so that we can see what's going on. Once we can see them and we identify them, the next step is to say, yeah, that's my shadow. You know, or sing a few bars of me and my shadow.
Yeah.
To own it. And say, yes, that's what's going on with me. And then once we've owned that, a remarkable thing happens. And now when that shadow comes back up, and it will come back up because they never really go away, when they come back up, now we have a choice. Now we have a choice between responding and reacting.
Mm-hmm.
Before we recognize our shadows, before we own them, we're pretty much locked into reaction.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I've heard it said, if you don't own it, it owns you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But once you've owned it, now when it comes up, you can say, oh, I know what that is. That's my shadow.
Yep.
Now I have a choice on how I respond as opposed to react. So it's really important to get these things and to know these things because they are, in my opinion, and I think Ken Wilber has echoed this in the past, is shadow is the single largest impediment to our advancement in consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think of it in those terms, it becomes extremely important that we deal with our shadows and that we're aware of what they are and we understand how they impact our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to give the listeners an overview, I mean, in terms of shadow, I'll take a stab just at defining it. It's basically, I mean, are they aspects of ourselves that are repressed, that are just underneath the surface of our awareness?
Yeah.
Is that a...
Yeah.
Okay.
They're unowned aspects of ourselves.
Yes.
Disassociated aspects of ourselves. ourselves, things that we've pushed back into our consciousness because we don't really want to deal with them because they're too painful.
Yes.
They bring up stuff that we don't want to touch on. But, you know, really, that shadow, that's where the gold is.
Yeah. Well, it seems like, you know, the pure expression of these aspects of ourselves are what, you know, happen through ownership. Whereas if we're not owning, then we, you know, it's a more distorted expression of these aspects.
Right. Yeah. I'm reminded of what Andrew Harvey says in his book, The Hope. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen that, but I really highly recommend it. He's become one of my heroes lately. Okay.
Say it again for the listeners so that they can...
Andrew Harvey, The Hope.
Okay. The Hope.
Yeah. It's an amazing book. Hmm. And one of the things that he talks about in there is that we absolutely have to own that shadow. We have to be aware of it. We have to come in contact with it. We have to caress it, and we have to love it, and we have to own it.
Mm-hmm.
He also talks about the repression that goes along with, you know, not doing that and how it gets in the way of our evolution. And, you know, for the first time in history, we have the ability to be in control of our own evolution to a large extent. And that's really a remarkable thing that's happening too. And that doesn't mean that we get to change our bodies or that we're going to, you know, suddenly stop growing hair or anything like this. But this is our spiritual evolution, which is very different than our physical evolution.
Mm-hmm.
But we can actually be in control of it by owning all of these things, and we can pretty much go where we want to go. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy, mm-hmm. or it's not going to be hard, or that it's not going to be painful, because it is. But that's the work that has to be done. So once both the masculine and the feminine have done that work, they can come back together and really start working on sacred union without the shadows getting in the way. And that's really where unity consciousness is able to come in. But until we do that work, and this is why I do the work with the masculine, mm-hmm. and why my wife Anya does the work with the feminine.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I'm really following her lead. I mean, she's been doing this work for 30 years. She's been doing this. She's a second wave feminist and has been doing this work for 30 years, and has just evolved her work amazingly. And I've really basically modeled my work after what she's doing with the feminine.
Well, just to kind of check in with you, I mean, that's pretty profound, the fact that, you know, here you are in this relationship, you know, with someone who's doing the same work. I mean, how do you see this showing up for you? I mean, what's it like to walk the talk in that? I mean, I know you said at the beginning you don't claim to embody this, but I'm interested, curious.
I'm glad you said that, because I never really did claim to be able to walk this.
Right, right. But I imagine you're trying, you know. I imagine that you're, you know,
yes.
I'm confident that it's expressed through that relationship.
Well, I hope it is, and we think it is, and we have an amazing relationship. I mean, you know, we are both so focused on doing this work, the masculine and the feminine work together, and we've started doing we've been doing couples workshops as well, and we keep waiting for the day that we can start doing what we're going to be calling something like to the effect of sacred union workshops, where we can really have the masculine and feminine just kind of drop away, or that people can move freely between the masculine and feminine as they desire and as the moment arises. And that unity consciousness, where when one person's expressing the masculine and the other person is expressing the feminine, so it maintains that polarity.
Well, and in a sense, you have, you know, from the masculine side, the incentive of the freedom to be all of these ways, and then the feminine, or the fullness of all these mm-hmm. ways to be, you know, all this, mm-hmm. this full, you know, directory of ways to be and exist in the world.
Right. That's, and for the masculine, it's really about emptiness. It's about emptying out. Mm-hmm. And for the feminine, it's about fullness. It's about, you know, receiving. And the masculine is about giving. And so men want to, you know, the masculine wants to empty out, and the feminine wants to receive. So it really works perfectly there. And it really doesn't, we're not talking about gender here.
Mm-hmm.
We're
mm-hmm.
talking about essences, whether, you know, whoever's carrying the masculine and the feminine. But it's really important for us to be able to carry both of those as the moment arises, because things are always changing.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when Anya comes back home after doing a workshop, like she's coming home tonight about 10 o'clock, after doing a Magdalene process in Indiana with 18 women.
Oh, wow.
And when she carries that for 5 days with all these women, she carries the masculine really strongly. So tonight when she comes home, it's my job to relax her back into her feminine.
Mm-hmm.
To say, okay, what do you need? You know, you let me take care of the car. I'll take care of that. I'll get everything inside. You go relax, take a shower, take a bath if you want. You know, just take it easy. So I take that over and allow her to drop back softly into her feminine. Because if I don't do that and she stays in her masculine when I'm in my masculine,
yes,
we're going to butt heads.
Sure, sure. There's no polarity.
I'm
That's
writing
right.
that down. Yeah. That's great advice. Gary, you've said so many things that I'm going to use. Oh, boy.
You like that,
yeah,
Dad?
I like that one a lot.
Relaxing, helping mom relax into the feminine?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought you'd like that. That's funny. Yeah. I thought you'd probably appreciate that one. Well, Gary, this is good stuff. We're going to go to our third break here. And when we come back, we're going to continue to talk to Gary about the Awakening the New Masculine. You're listening to Awaken Life here on KKNW Transformation Talk Radio.
My shadow strolling down the
Hi, this is Adam Seward.
And I'm Rick Seward.
And together we have partnered to bring you Awakened Life as part of our commitment to supporting the unfolding of human and planetary consciousness. That's also why we decided to create the Awakening Foundation. Well, what's the Awakening Foundation? The Awakening Foundation is a nonprofit organization that's designed to help facilitate the evolution of consciousness through the creation and distribution of what we're calling Awakened Media. We'd love to connect with you. For more information on the Awakening Foundation, go to adamseward.com. If you'd like to find out more or to talk with us about how you can support the mission, fill out the contact form and we'll get back to you right away. Thanks for listening to Awaken Life. We look forward to connecting.
At the law offices of Richard D. Seward, we care about our clients. We offer important legal advice and services to help them grow their wealth and protect it. We manage the risks and help the financially distressed through the recovery process. We are committed and dedicated to helping people throughout Western Washington and beyond with our expertise in business, real estate, tax law, and debt relief. Find us at richardseward.com or call us at 360-876-6425. We care about you.
Don't touch that dial. You might miss something life-changing.
Welcome back to Awaken Life. That was a good one, Eric. That definitely had the word shadow in it. That was
good.
That was a nice intro outro there. Anyway, we are listening to we're talking to Gary Stamper, the author of Awakening the New Masculine, and we've been talking about archetypes and we've been talking about shadow and what it means to really own shadow and thus transform the expression of it. And we were also talking over the break about Gary, why you live up in the Smoky Mountains. And I thought that was really interesting because it's really an intentional life choice that you've made to live there.
It is. For a long time, I've had a feeling that I wanted to be in community someplace. Mm-hmm. And as you probably know, intentional communities are extremely difficult to work with. Mm-hmm. And this one's been no picnic either, but I came here because Anya was here.
Yes.
And she didn't want to go to the city, and I realized pretty much that I really didn't want to be in the city in coming times as much as I love Seattle. And so this was a perfect place to come, and I really came with almost nothing, and I've just really had to reinvent myself since I've been here. And in 3.5 years, that's finally starting to emerge. The workshops are doing okay. We've built this house. We've got this. We're growing a lot of our own food.
Yes.
We're just doing some remarkable things here, and we're really unlikely people to do that but we've just been really great manifestors, and that's been part of our whole key around this is abundance. And if we had more time, we'd be doing workshops on abundance, but we don't have time because we've certainly been fortunate in that area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Growing your own food. I mean, that talk about local, sustainable, organic.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it is, and it's going to be. We think it's going to be important.
Yes. Yeah, well, you're not alone in that, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. If you look at everything that's happening and you're not in denial, it's not hard to what's going to be happening over the next little while.
Yeah. Well, and I, you know, that's something, Gary, you know, you and I are friends on Facebook, and that's something that I know you're really passionate about as well, is, you know, helping people to, you know, part of, you know, part of embodying the masculine is, you know, creating awareness, I think, for people, you know, around ways to, you know, lots of ways to live an awakened life.
You're creating your own kingdom there. You're not dependent upon other sources for food.
Well,
I mean,
you still are, because, you know, with everything else that's going on, I can't stress enough the importance of community in the coming times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and to be, and to have your community, to have the people that you can trust, to have the people that you can rely on, you know, to help you. Because, you know, if you don't have someone to help you and you don't have a community, you're just a survivalist.
Mm-hmm.
And who wants to be a survivalist? You know, we don't think of ourselves as survivalists, although we've done some serious what's called prepping.
Mm-hmm.
But we prefer to think of ourselves as thrivalists. Regardless of what is going to be coming, and it doesn't look like it's going to be pretty, as the economic system, you know, is collapsing before our very eyes right now. This is not something that can be talked about in future tense. It's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
And as times come on, it's going to be really important to be, to have your community together, whether it's in, you know, your block that you live in Seattle, or, you know, your neighbors in a subdivision, or, you know, an intentional community or whatever. It's really important to start building a community that can take care of itself and take care of each other.
Do you find that when you do workshops that creates community, that the people who come to the workshops end up, you know, getting to know each other and you know, forming relationships around this kind of way of living?
Yeah, no question. We've been amazed to see what's really taken off this year between Anya's and my workshops. But generally what she'll do is she'll go into a city and she'll open it up because she's so well known.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll follow behind and pick up the men.
Nice.
One of the first questions I ask when I have a group of men sitting in front of me, okay, how many of you are here because your wife said to come?
Yeah.
It's only about half.
Yeah, right.
But what we're finding is happening now, places like Indianapolis and Cincinnati and some other places, is that the communities are continuing on without us. Now there's a priestess community in Cincinnati. There's an integral warrior community in Cincinnati. They're running monthly meetings. They're working together. They're doing things. And, you know, it's all about this connectedness and connecting up with as many people as you can, and also touching in with other communities and bringing them in as well.
Yeah. We had a friend of ours, Thomas, on the show last week, and we're part of a men's group with him. And we were just talking about how important it is for men to get, you know, in terms of, you know, supporting the emergence of this new masculine, how important it is for men to come together to support each other in that.
Absolutely. It's really critical. In fact, you know, with the book, one of the things I fully understand is that I'm laying out all these processes and these procedures and how to do this, but this is not something that men can do alone. And what I say in the introduction to the book is I tell people how to read this, tell men how to read this, although I expect women are going to be reading it too.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that they want to do is they want to find at least three men or more that they can read this book together and then get together and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens in these circles that hasn't happened with men before, this is a place where men finally learn to trust each other. They're able to drop away the competitiveness of Western civilization, of industrial civilization, the place where, you know, the boy who, the man who dies with the most toys wins, you know, is no longer a valid thing because there aren't enough toys. And and you can really get into this, and for the first time, for a lot of these men, it's the first time they've really been able to trust other men. And that's a slow process through this, and why it takes 6 or 7 weekends over a 6-month period for this to develop. Because when these men come out of this process, you know, they may not be best buddies, may not call each other all the time, but I'll tell you what, every one of them could pick up one of those other men and say, I need you, and they'd be there.
Yeah, wow. That's powerful, I mean, to think of a weekend having, you know, that sort of lasting impact on someone's life, you know?
Well, it's not just one weekend. It's
7 weekends altogether.
Oh, okay. And is that the emergence weekend?
Seventh weekend is the emergence weekend. Yeah.
Okay.
That's where that's the weekend where the king is finally reintegrated.
Ooh.
The first weekend is about exposing the shadow of the king.
Okay.
And then we let that sit and simmer through the other archetypes, the king, the warrior, the lover, and the magician. We do another weekend of those. And then we have a weekend that's dedicated to shamanic breath work and the 3-2-1 shadow process.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then we have a weekend that's also dedicated to shamanic astrology. And then we come back to reintegrate the king once all the other archetypes are in place for the king to take his rightful place.
Now you said shamanic astrology. You are also practice shamanism, right? And how does that fit?
Yes. Well, I'm what you call a core shaman. I don't really claim to be a shaman, but I practice core shamanism, which is a choice that I've made versus classic shamanism, which is a calling. And with classic shamanism, that usually comes about with a near-death experience or, a sickness or something like that, where you actually go to the underworld, quote-unquote, and you come back with new awareness and a calling to do this work. Well, that wasn't really the way it happened for me. What happened to me is I was really interested in the practices, the altered state practices, which I had become pretty good at, journeying and guided journeys and shamanic breathwork process and different things that really create altered state consciousness that allow things to pop up that you wouldn't have thought would come up. You might not even know about.
Mm-hmm. Wow, okay.
For myself, what happened with me when I went through the training on this is I discovered childhood wounds that were also affecting how I was in relationship, primarily around being an aggressor in relationships. You have a distancer and a pursuer in relationships, and mm-hmm. I was always the pursuer.
Yes.
And what I found is what was happening for me, as I would pursue somebody, they would typically take a step back. And I would typically take another step forward, and they'd take a step back, and I'd take a step forward, and so they just kept having to retreat and retreat and retreat.
Yes.
What I've learned through the breathwork process in doing this and having this childhood wound exposed is that if I can be aware of that, and when I find myself stepping forward, if instead I can take a step back, that gives room for the other person to come forward as well and strengthens that relationship.
Well, Gary, this is so good. I mean, the work that you're doing, I've seen my dad over here taking notes as you've been talking. I mean, it's so...
Gary, you've been unbelievable.
We've got about 2 minutes left, so I want to make sure everybody knows how they can contact you, and if they want to either purchase the book or participate in a workshop, you know, just how to best get in touch with you.
Well, my website is GaryStanford.com. Can't be any easier than that.
Yep.
That's a portal that takes people to all of my other websites, including Awakening the New Masculine, the book, my blog, The Intro Warrior, and a couple of other websites. But to contact me, they can also contact me at GaryStanford@Yahoo.com. And my phone number's on there at my website, so I'm easily accessible anyway. The book's coming out in January. It's being published by Barrett Keeler.
Mm-hmm.
And in February, I'm planning on getting out to the West Coast to start a tour in February, a 7-week tour. I'm going to hit Portland, Seattle, Santa Rosa, San Francisco Bay Area, Integral, San Diego, Los Angeles. And I'm planning on spending a week there doing book signings and workshops to introduce the warrior to people. So I would love to get in contact with you guys when I'm coming and maybe
appear
with you live.
Please, we will do it.
Sure thing. And, you know, we got about 20 seconds. What's your personal message? What do you want the men out there to know? Just everyone, Gary.
I think that the big message is right now is that our survival as a planet really depends largely on the masculine stepping up.
I love it.
It's time to grow up. It's time to stop being little boys.
I love it, Gary.
Gary,
thanks so much.
Thank you, Gary.
All right. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Bye-bye.